If you were going to be on Monday morning, I was going to ask you, boy, it was disappointing Sunday night. You're upset. Players are upset. How are you going to get these guys motivated? And then the tweet comes out on Monday morning. Was it strategic? And in how many ways was it strategic?
No, the only strategy was to use a little humor, but also be serious about a situation that I see and have seen the last few years with the tournament. It's concerning to me. As far as my team, I honestly don't even know what they've read with it or what they've read about it. Now they read everything, so I'm guessing they have recently. Today's been a little bit interesting with the attention it got. I knew it'd get a little national play. It's got more than I thought, which is fine, because my whole thing, as I've said, is the issue is with the committee. It's not with teams that don't schedule us. It's not with other coaches. It's with the explanation and the hypocrisy, in my opinion, of why they choose certain teams over others.
And this has become an issue even more so in the last few years. Yes. for so-called mid-major teams. Kind of like society. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. And mid-majors are getting locked out. It's almost like you have to jump through amazing hurdles just to get to, quote, sit at the big boys' table. As a coach, are there weapons in your arsenal at all that you can use? Tweeting, obviously, is one. Get the media going, maybe getting some guilt going. Is there anything else you can do as a coach?
You know, I'll try to talk to the appropriate people at the NCAA. And again, I've said this. I don't think that those 10 people in that room are trying to do anything but their best. I think they are looking at numbers and deciding what's important to them. I don't know if they understand the issues that go into scheduling. You would assume some do because there are some athletic directors from schools like ours. I don't know if there's pressures, but I'll certainly reach out to the people I think it's appropriate and handle it the right way, and just want to discuss, not only discuss what I think are the problems, but also trying to figure out what the solutions are, because you know, there's a lot of really good teams around the country. The teams that got in instead of us, it means just as much to them as it does to us. I'm happy for them. I hope they win. I don't care who wins, but my point is, when you're making those final decisions, or even when you're seeding teams, you can't just look at one specific, as they say, analytic, which is quality wins, when certain teams don't have opportunities for those.
Is there anything that can be done legislating, like a team right. has to play 40% of their games on the road right. before they get to conference?
That'll never happen, nor should it. I'm not a proponent of that.
Why not?
Because each program and each coach needs to do what's best for their program. And within that, you work with the NCAA, and obviously there's rules you have to abide by, a number of games you can play. But other than that, you start legislating that, and I think you're getting way too involved. It's not going to change as far as teams playing different. I say that. I think we just got a home-and-home with Ole Miss because of all this. So hopefully we can follow through with that.
We got a scoop.
Yeah, well, it's on Twitter. Sorry. Okay. But I don't want that to happen. I don't think it should happen. I'm not for over-legislation in the NCAA with scheduling. I just want the committee to understand the challenges and not make the excuses of this is why we didn't have you let you in when it's not possible to change.
Okay. We're talking with Illinois State University men's basketball coach Dan Muller in his office on Monday afternoon. Sunday night.
Yeah.
The decision came down. You didn't get in. Like I said, you guys were all upset.
Yes.
And you said at the time, hey, look, you guys get to grieve tonight. Yep. When you come back Monday morning, in essence, you said you better have your head screwed on straight. You're going to be sitting next to me on the bench yep. being an assistant coach. It was a good line.
Yep.
How did their players respond today in practice?
They were good. We had a good practice. I'm not saying we're out of the woods yet. And I started off the meeting with telling them I understand. I understand the disappointment. I understand not being excited about being in the NIT in that moment. I understand the emotional investment they've put in, specifically the seniors. But as I've told them since they've been here, life's not fair, number one. But if you're in my program, if you're in this program, we compete. And we have an opportunity to compete together in a very good tournament with the number one seed, which has never been done here, continue this historic season. And I trust that they will do that. Now, I know some will, and I think some are struggling with it because it is emotional. I hope that by game time, everybody's locked in.
UC Irvine is your opponent, first game Wednesday night. How do you match up against them? Have you learned anything in the last 18 hours?
Oh, yeah. We've watched plenty of film, watching right now. First thing is they're huge. They are enormous. They've got a 7'2" starter, 250 pounds. They got a 6'10", 300-pound guy off the bench. They've got another 6'10 starter. They're really, really big. They've got an incredible scorer who was player of the year in their league at the two, shoots it. dynamic player. Obviously, they're well coached. They've won, I think they won their league 2 years in a row. I know they made the tournament last year. Going to be a tough game. The one of the great things about postseason play is you get so used to playing teams in your league that know each other. They know all your plays. They know your play calls. They know what to expect. There's just a breath of fresh air because a lot of the old plays that didn't work against those that work. And so it's fun. The more you win, the more fun it is. But, again, it'll be a quality opponent coming in.
Well, you do have Hawaii as a common opponent. It looks like the only one. Does that help at all, or is that long ago it doesn't matter?
That was so long ago. I did see their score. They beat Hawaii by a bunch like we did.
Mm-hmm.
They've had overtime at Cal, 5-point losses to some really good teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're clearly – they got three senior starters. We may make sure emotionally we're right. That is a challenge, not only for our team, but probably the most of the teams that barely didn't get in, is just getting your mind ready to compete when you've been let down so much at that age. But as always, if we're locked in and everybody's ready to go, I feel I like our chances.
Final question. This is an extremely likable team.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Extremely likable from a fan's
perspective. I like them almost all the time.
Does that come from you? Does that come from your fellow coaches? Does that come from the players? What percentage?
Well, it starts with the players, number one. Now, our culture and our program, and we bring guys in and try to do a really good job of mentoring them and teach them how to act and be respectful and appreciative. I think those are very important qualities in anybody. And so I hope you see as they're with us, they're even more and more likable, or even more and more appreciative and respectful. But it starts with the players and their parents. We try to recruit good kids. It is a fun group. It is a group that plays hard, and it's a group that's represented this community in the right way for a long time. And we've had some mix-ups over the years, but it is a fun group to coach.
Illinois State University basketball coach Dan Muller, thank you so much for your time.
You got it.
Good luck tomorrow night against Irvine.
We'll take it. Thank you.